According to St. Luke, the 13th chapter. Now Jesus was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath. And just then there appeared a woman with a spirit that had crippled her for 18 years. She was bent over and was quite unable to stand up straight. When Jesus saw her, he called her over and said, "Woman, you are set free from your ailment." When he laid his hands on her, immediately she stood up straight and began praising God. But the leaders of the synagogue, indignant because Jesus had cured on the Sabbath, kept saying to the crowd, "There are 6 days on which work ought to be done. Come on those days and be cured, and not on the Sabbath." But the Lord answered him and said, "You hypocrites, does not each of you on the Sabbath untie his donkey or his ox from the manger and lead it away to give it water? And ought not this woman, a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan bound for 18 long years, be set free from this bondage on the Sabbath day?" When he said this, all his opponents were put to shame, and the entire crowd was rejoicing at all the wonderful things that he was doing. The Gospel of the Lord. Please be seated. Brothers and sisters in Christ, grace to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. On the Sabbath, Jesus and the Sabbath are referred to a number of times in the Gospels. Usually he starts out by teaching, but there are a few times when he gets caught doing other things. Today's gospel, he heals a woman on the Sabbath. He sets her free. He's done this other times too. There was a man who couldn't walk. His friends brought him on a pallet on the Sabbath. And Jesus healed him. He said, "Get up, walk. Oh yeah, and pick up your bed too." And just like today, the religious leaders were indignant. They said to that man, "You can't pick up your pallet and carry it. It's too heavy. You're breaking the Sabbath if you pick up that pallet." Or when Jesus healed the man crippled by the pool of Siloam, and he said, "Get up and walk. You're forgiven." Well, the scribes and Pharisees plotted to kill Jesus in the very next verses. So what is it about the Sabbath and Jesus? Another time, his disciples were walking from point A to point B, and they were hungry. There's no Quick Trip, no Casey's, no Speedy Mart. So they walked around the edges of the fields and they picked a few grains. It was harvest time. They rubbed them between their hands, fluffed off the chaff, and ate the grain. And they got caught breaking the Sabbath. And each of these times, Jesus comes back and says to the religious leaders, "You just don't get it. I just set this woman free, for heaven's sakes. She was bound for 18 years, and I set her free. And all you see is that I worked on the Sabbath." Technically, the synagogue leader was right. But in terms of the gospel, they had it all wrong. And I think that should be an eye-opener for every Christian. When we get the answer right, but that wasn't the answer to the question that was being asked. You ever done that? I had a guy, boy, in one of my classes in high school that used to work so hard to try to cheat off of me. And so one time, I wrote all the wrong answers down and let him have it. He failed. I'm not proud of what I did. But sometimes we have all the right answers and we're not answering the questions that are being asked. Sabbath. What does it really mean? From the Old Testament law, you could only walk a certain number of steps, or you were breaking the Sabbath. You couldn't ask someone else to work because you would be breaking their Sabbath. Anybody go out for lunch or brunch after church on Sundays? That would be breaking the Sabbath. Do you mow your lawns on Sundays? That would be breaking the Sabbath. You see, I think one of the things that's happened since Jesus got to break the Sabbath is we all figure that commandment just doesn't matter at all anymore. We can make other people work. We can work. As long as we go to church, or we don't have to go to church, we can worship God at the lake. I thank you all for being here. I was gone earlier this weekend. I went up to Wisconsin. That's why I missed your anniversary celebration, Roger and Barb. Congratulations. I was asked to officiate at a wedding for a young couple up there. Now, I'm not particularly close with this couple, but some of you know I spent a whole year working at Office Max between calls. And I learned so much about real people, because most people put on their best self when they come to church. I learned about real people. I worked with real people. And this couple worked with me at Office Max. And they are of a generation that isn't very much in church. And so even though they both had church connections, like when we said the Lord's Prayer at the wedding, everybody chirped in, okay? So they're all having a religious background, but they didn't have a connection. So this couple that I worked with at Office Max just knew me as Pam, wearing my khakis and my black polo every single day, just like they did, putting up with customers being their absolute worst, just about every single day. We all did this together. And so I was just one of the work crew. And I moved away and came here. And 3.5 some years later, I was their only connection to something religious, to something church. And there's something about that generation that intrigues me. So I said yes. Yeah, sure, I'll drive 5 hours north on a Friday and 5 hours south on a Saturday to take part in this wedding for a couple I'm not really close to. because I wanted to be part of that, and because I wanted them to hear about Jesus at their wedding. Because they're probably not going to go to a church. Why aren't they going to go to a church? Lots of reasons. One of them is we had a regular customer who was a Christian homeschooler who would come into Office Max every single Sunday afternoon and demand that we do copies for her homeschooling, and they need to be done now. And she represented institutional religion to us. That in this very, very Christian community, there were people who treated retail slaves very, very poorly. They were like those Pharisees. And that's what that generation saw. They saw a lot of people nitpicking about things that didn't really have anything to do with the core of following Jesus. I was listening to an audiobook on the way up and back. It was Rachel Held Evans. Held Evans. And it was about her journey of faith from, the title is Faith Unraveled, how a girl who knew all the answers learned to ask questions. And the conclusion she came up with, because she wrestled with a lot of things, like, why would someone be condemned to hell if they just were born in the wrong place and never heard about Jesus? She wrestled with those hard questions and wrestled with, is God an angry God or is God a loving God? It depends on who you talk to and what time of day. And in the end, she came to the conclusion that sometimes Christians come to false fundamentals. And this is a theory that goes back to St. Augustine. False fundamentals are when we try and we come up with a conclusion on our own or surrounded by peers that something is foundational to our faith. Like, don't lift more than 40 pounds on the Sabbath. And you don't belong to God if you lift more weight than that, or if you walk more steps. But what happened with this woman that Jesus healed? She had been ailing for 18 years. And the religious leaders couldn't see that. And I look at all of you and I think about chronic pain, and I think about some of the things that you have suffered with for years and years and years. I mean, 18 years ago. That's a long time. Imagine suffering something for 18 years, or maybe you don't have to imagine. Maybe you have. And Jesus said, "Woman, you are set free." That's the fundamental of this story, is the woman was set free by Jesus on the Sabbath. And so we look around at each other and we go, what do I need to be set free of? And we know the one who can set us free. But we also look at each other and we say, what can I help set you free from? Because I belong to Jesus. And Jesus set us free. On the Sabbath, when they rolled away that stone from the tomb, we were all set free. We are an Easter people. We are not a people burdened, but a people set free. How do we set each other free? We forgive sins. We carry each other's burdens. We help each other take their burdens to Jesus. The fundamental of Christianity is not getting it right. Okay. Rachel Held Evans grew up thinking she had to get it all right. I grew up thinking I had to get it all right. I mean, I grew up in a time when memorizing the catechism meant we needed to get the punctuation in the right places and the capital letters in the right places. And when we were working so hard at doing those things, we didn't notice that people stopped coming to church after they got confirmed, in large part. What is the fundamental of Christianity? What did Jesus say when he walked past a fisherman and was looking for new disciples? Did he teach them a 5-point plan of salvation? No. He said, "Follow me." Just follow me. This is why we come together in church, why we lift up the Gospels, why we stand when we read the Gospels, the stories of Jesus. Because in learning about Jesus, learning to follow Jesus, learning about the fundamentals of who Jesus is, we are set free. And freed to help others find their freedom in Christ. On this Sabbath, may the peace and the grace and the mercy of Christ our Savior set you free and fill you with the will to take the good news out to a world that desperately needs it. In Jesus' name, amen.